When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Monday, everybody. It is July 1st. It's Denise Salcedo here to talk about some Monday Night Raw. This is my mini review of what went down. So if you can't devote yourself to a 3-hour show, don't worry. I gotcha. All right, so let's get right to it. I want to work our way from our biggest stories to our lesser stories. And I would say coming out of this show, it wasn't as easy to say this week which story was possibly the biggest, because I think the last couple of weeks, Raw has been extremely good and it's been very crystal clear which stories have been the biggest. However, this week is one of those weeks where it kind of depends on what you're most interested in on the show. So I'm going to go ahead and kick things off with the Money in the Bank and talk about who is going to be in the men's and who is going to be in the women's, because we've got all of that officially covered here today. So I want to get right into it. Let's talk about the men's Money in the Bank, because this one's kind of, this is the one where I feel like part of me is starting to doubt myself just a tiny bit in terms of what I think may happen. Because so today, we had a really great main event, guys. It was the main event that you guys expected. It was Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre versus Ilya Dragunov. And all of these guys were just going out there and kicking butt. So the match that you knew that they would have, that is the match that they had. Of course, it was only about like less than 20 minutes by the time they got to it for the end of Raw. I think that they could have definitely gone a lot longer, but again, it's not a pay-per-view. So they gave us the Raw TV version of what this match could be. Of course, if this was on a WrestleMania or something like that, well, hell, it would have gone even further and beyond. But this was still a really good performance that we saw by all three men here. But we ended up having Drew McIntyre get the win, which was the person that most of us predicted was going to be winning this match. So now he has scored a spot in the men's Money in the Bank. So now he joins Jey Uso, Carmelo Hayes, Andrade, Chad Gable, and LA Knight. So I'm looking at these options, and for the longest time, I have been saying Jey Uso. Jey Uso earlier on Raw had a promo where he is now saying, get this, he's now saying Money in the Bank. Now, I'm pretty positive he hadn't said this before. I'm pretty sure this is like the first time he said it. And if he didn't, if he said it before, whoops, my bad. I just didn't catch him before. But Money in the Bank. He has been my prediction to win this, primarily because I feel like they have done so much branding for Jey Uso. He's on the cover. They're going to sell those Yeet Money in the Bank briefcases. Now he has a slogan, Money in the Bank. I mean, come on. The way that they kicked off Raw too, with his entrance, with all of the people there, it was very cool. From the concession stands to the stands to the ring, it was electric the entire way through, primarily because this was a really good audience that we had on Raw. But anyways, Drew McIntyre gets his spot here like most of us expected him to. But here's the thing. Drew McIntyre, will he actually win the Money in the Bank? I feel like given what we've been seeing between him and CM Punk, I feel like CM Punk is once again going to cost him a victory, just like he did in Scotland at Clash at the Castle, just like he helped ruin his WrestleMania moment, all of that. I feel that it doesn't necessarily make too much sense for Drew McIntyre to win this, because if he wins, he's going to have the briefcase, right? Sure, he can go off and cash it in on Gunther, because I'm expecting Gunther to be world heavyweight champion by the time we get to at SummerSlam. That's when I'm expecting him to win the world heavyweight championship. But that's the thing, though, is that I don't see Drew McIntyre necessarily needing this briefcase, because I'm also expecting him to finally have a match against CM Punk. So it just feels like there's too many things happening at once for Drew. So I almost don't think he's winning this Money in the Bank. I am pretty set in stone that CM Punk is going to cost it for him again, especially since we haven't seen CM Punk since that brutal attack that he did to him on SmackDown. So I'm still sticking with Jey Uso here, but regardless, that's where we're at with the men's Money in the Bank. Now, as for the women, we ended up having a surprise here. At least I think it's a surprise, because we had the triple threat, which was Zoe Stark versus Ivy Nile versus Dakota Kai. And a lot of people online kept saying that it was going to be Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai was going to win, or at least that she was a fan favorite, right? She was a fan favorite online. And this one, I really didn't have anybody's name that was really screaming, oh, hey, I'm going to be in Money in the Bank. And so when I saw that a lot of people wanted Dakota Kai, I'm like, okay, it's probably going to be Dakota Kai. A lot of people want Dakota Kai to be the winner, so maybe it will be her. But it ended up being Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark got this victory. And I will tell you, I was a little bit surprised by that, but I wasn't bummed out by any means. I actually think that Zoe Stark being in the Money in the Bank is kind of a cooler way to go. And the reason I say that is because you look at these competitors, right? You have Io Sky. She's going to be doing cool shit off the ladders. You have Chelsea Green. She's going to be doing the comedy bits. You have Lyra Valkyria. She's a hard hitter. She's a good wrestler, so she'll be doing her thing. Tiffany Stratton, high flyer. Naomi, incredible athletic ability. She's going to have some very creative spots here too. So then you have Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark, to me, she's not only a good wrestler like Lyra Valkyria, but I think she's also going to be like the muscle in this. She is going to bring the hard hitting aspect of what a Money in the Bank match needs. So I'm looking at the pool of contestants here in the Money in the Bank, and I really like how well rounded it's looking in terms of the competitors and what they'll bring to the matchup. I'm really looking forward to this Women's Money in the Bank. I think it's probably going to be one of the best ones that they have had. Again, just based off of the competitors. I mean, alone with Tiffany, Io, and Naomi, just those three alone with their acrobatics and things that they can do, that's going to be fun. And let's be real, and these types of matches, you want to see the creative spots. You want to see them do these death-defying things, right? And so I think that's what we're definitely going to get. So I'm personally more excited for the Women's Money in the Bank than I am for the men. But the men ones looks good too. They're all going to do great stuff. I mean, you have Chad Gable in there. He's probably going to do some crazy thing where he like suplex someone onto a ladder, or God, I don't even know what they'll come up with. They'll come up with some cool stuff though. But there you go. That's like really the big stuff that came out of Raw for Money in the Bank. So let's go ahead and get into the Liv Morgan, Dominic Mysterio, and that whole Judgment Day stuff. This sort of all intertwines together. And really what we have here today is that they're continuing the tease that Damian Priest is going to break away from the Judgment Day. And personally, I'm here for it. I feel like for the longest time, I've been wanting the Judgment Day to break up. And now I don't think that they're all breaking up. Like, I don't think the entire group is going to be disbanded, but I do think Damian Priest is going to go off and be on his own. And the reason is that last week he kind of threw a shot at them, saying that he didn't really need them, that they needed more, that they needed him more than he needed them. And today we saw that he was kind of getting on Dominic Mysterio's nerves. And the way that he was getting on Dominic's nerves is that he caught him in this blatant lie where he asks him if he had talked to Rhea Ripley. And Dominic is basically saying that he has talked to Rhea Ripley, but it was a lie. In fact, today's the first day we actually find out what Rhea's feelings are in regards to what's been going down between him and Liv. And she's pissed off. And we finally hear about that from Damian Priest. And so Dominic Mysterio gets really irritated and starts saying that he's starting to sound like his dad. They walk into the clubhouse, and lo and behold, Liv Morgan is in there. She's gaming with all of the Judgment Day members. They're having a good time. Friendly reminder, she's the reason why they won the tag team titles the week before. And Damian Priest is kind of not having this. He ends up having this like sidebar conversation with Finn Balor. And Finn confronts him about the comments that Damian Priest made the week before. And Damian Priest had a pretty good explanation to this. He had said that, oh, it's because he was the only champion of the group, and that's the reason why he said that. And while it was a good explanation, and he was, and it basically saved his butt, neither the people watching nor Finn Balor actually believed that. Nobody actually fell for that. It's BS. You know, Damian Priest thinks he's better than the Judgment Day. Finn Balor knows it. We know it. Everybody knows it. And so I liked this because I liked that Finn Balor just didn't just buy it. He didn't buy it. He knew better than that. And so that was the first portion of this. And then this breaks up into, we end up having a match between Liv Morgan and Zelina Vega. And this match was actually pretty okay. Like, it wasn't bad. I think it was so much better than anything you might have expected Zelina Vega to be in. This may have been her best match since her Backlash match against Rhea Ripley. And the reason why it was good was because I actually, for a moment, thought, man, what if they just surprise us right here, right now, and have Zelina Vega win? Of course, I know it kind of sounds a little far-fetched, but because of the way that they set it up with her hitting the 619 on Liv Morgan and then hitting her with a tornado DDT, the way that it all happened, I really thought that there was a chance that Liv Morgan might actually lose to Zelina Vega. And so Zelina Vega has sort of been surprising me the last couple of weeks. Last week, I was talking about how she had a pretty good promo. She was showing a lot of personality, and she seems more confident every week. I don't know what changed. I don't know exactly what inspired her, but I do think that Zelina Vega is showing that this is sort of like the best version of her. We are currently seeing the best version of Zelina Vega right now. And so during this match too, by the way, Liv Morgan, she's trying to charm Dominic Mysterio because he's out there. Rey Mysterio's out there and she's trying to charm him. She does the Three Amigos. I thought it was really funny. And every now and then we catch Dominic Mysterio sort of laughing and stuff like this. But Dominic throws the chair into the ring and he tries to get Zelina to use it on Liv Morgan, right? Supposedly, whatever. But Zelina refuses to use the chair, and this distraction allowed for, she throws the chair into Dominic's face and hits Dominic in the face with the chair. So Liv Morgan gets really, really pissed off when she sees that. So she hits a nasty oblivion to Zelina Vega and gets the victory here. So this was good because you can see that Zelina was Liv Morgan was very, very fired up by this. Like, she was angry that her man got hurt. And then also she does a little stage interview with Kathy Kelly, and Kathy's basically asking her, like, is your revenge tour going the way that you wanted to? And according to Liv, it totally is. And that would end up kind of, that ended up foreshadowing what happens later on in the night, because her revenge tour may not be going the way that she had envisioned. Also, she calls Dominic Mysterio the most gorgeous man in WWE. And let me tell you, that is a lie, because she can talk to him. If he was so gorgeous, she wouldn't be able to say anything to his face. Now, if you get this reference, please tweet me, because you and I need to be BFFs if you get this reference. Anyways, so that's kind of what went down with this match. It was not bad. Zelina Vega actually delivered and surprised me in all of this. But we did get a match between Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. And the way that this went down is, unfortunately, Liv Morgan was the reason that Dominic Mysterio lost. Zelina Vega attacked Liv Morgan, and Liv Morgan ended up going on the ring apron and she yanked Liv Morgan. So when she did that, Liv Morgan ended up moving the ropes, and that at that exact same time, Dominic Mysterio was on the top rope. So he falls, balls first into the turnbuckle. And so, of course, Rey Mysterio takes advantage of this and gets the victory here. So, unfortunately, Liv Morgan was begging Dominic Mysterio. She was walking after him, just begging, like, I'm so sorry. And things are now going wrong here. So I don't know when the eventual moment is going to happen when Dominic Mysterio finally decides and gives in and says that he is sprung on Liv Morgan. Because I see him smile. I see those reactions. Oh my God, I almost forgot to mention the biggest thing too about this, by the way. I don't know how I almost forgot this. And this was probably, this was the biggest thing too that happened. And it was during the Liv Morgan Zelina Vega match, there was a moment where Dominic Mysterio ends up, he ends up on top of Liv Morgan and he gets, or is it during the Rey Mysterio match? Sorry, it was during the Rey Mysterio match. He gets dropped on top of Liv Morgan and he's literally just, I'm watching the video right now. He's literally starts like almost, like he's on top of her, you know, in a very, very naughty way. You know what I mean? On top of her. And she's trying to like get, supposedly, like she's trying to keep him on and he's supposed to be trying to get off, but he really wasn't trying whatsoever. Like he was doing the weakest attempt whatsoever at trying to get out of the vice of Liv Morgan here. So she was trapped. He liked it. You can tell he liked it. You know he liked it. Come on now. She's already massaged his hair. Now he's on top of her. I mean, they've had way too many intimate moments at this point. So there you go. That was probably the most Liv Dom segment of the week. Because I think now I feel like we're getting those every week. And I wonder how far they're willing to go. Are we going to get another really hot makeout section? Are we going to get a live sex celebration? Who the hell knows? Of course, we don't really do that anymore, but hey, you never know. We're going to Netflix soon. So who knows what that will look like by the time we get there. All right. So the next thing I want to go ahead and get into is the Wyatts. This one was really quick. There really wasn't as much as there was the previous weeks. And the two things that sort of go hand in hand together is that, once again, Nikki Cross hands over a VHS to Michael Cole. And in it, we get the interview. It's almost like a second portion to the first interview that we had with Bo and Uncle Howdy. And basically, he's just talking about how the group was forgotten about. All of those members were forgotten about and they made them notice. And now he is the voice of the reckoning. But in this, he had mentioned that they're coming sort of after people that are messing with their families. It was something along those lines, like messing with their families, not really taking advantage, like taking advantage, taking your family for granted. And so that might explain why they're coming after Chad Gable, because Chad Gable took advantage and bullied Otis, Maxine, and Akira Tozawa. So it's looking like that is probably why they're hunting down Chad Gable. And they also spooked the hell out of him at the top of the show, because Chad Gable had confronted Jey Uso in the top of the show in the earlier segment of the day. And it ended up with him basically just being spooked by all of their silhouettes, and it turns dark and there's all this fog and smoke and nothing really happens here other than they're just scaring him. And then he like runs away like a coward. And later on, he tries to meet up with Otis in catering and tries to convince him like, hey, we should be, you know, you're seeing what's happening to me. We should have each other's backs, because you don't know if the Wyatt Six are going to come after you or Maxine or Tozawa. So we need to really be there for each other. But at this point, you're kind of realizing like, oh, Chad Gable, he's just trying to be manipulative. He's just scared and he has nobody else and he lost the people that he had. And now he's sort of left off on his own. He's sort of reaping, cause and effect, right? He's getting what he basically asked for in terms of, you know, he was being mean, he was being an a-hole, and now he's getting punished for it. So that's what's happening there. We had a Seth Rollins, Damian Priest, Finn Balor segment that was not good. I'm not liking the way that they made Seth Rollins look in this promo, and they kind of made him look a little bit goofy, in my opinion, because when Damian Priest and Finn Balor were out there, he really wasn't sure if the Judgment Day was planning this or not planning this. And it's clear that if you're watching the show and you're seeing what's happening, that Damian Priest and Finn Balor are at odds, that they're not necessarily best friends right now. And so Seth Rollins should have outsmarted them by knowing that and sort of being two steps ahead of them. Instead, he basically made it seem like he didn't see anything that was happening on the show, didn't know anything that was going on, and thought that they were both trying to attack him. And while Finn Balor did attack him, Damian Priest didn't want that. Damian Priest was upset by this. But anyways, the promo itself, there really was absolutely nothing that really stood out. It was more so just Seth Rollins thinking this was a trap and Damian and Finn not being on the same page. So not really a big fan of how this turned out, but whatever. It wasn't anything too crazy. Eventually, Damian Priest does hit the South of Heaven on Seth Rollins. That was another thing. I just felt like the whole whole portion between Damian and Finn found a little bit weird, because at first I'm thinking, oh, they're not on the same page. Then I was thinking they were on the same page. Then they weren't on the same page. It was just messy. I didn't really think that it came across too clear, but we'll take it for what it was. Last but not least, we had Xavier Woods versus Karrion Kross, with Xavier Woods defeating Karrion Kross here. This was just, I'm sorry, guys. I'm so not into the Karrion Kross in the Final Testament. I felt that after the match, I knew right away everything that was going to go down. It felt very predictable. I was just waiting for the Final Testament to get their heat back, and they did. They attacked him. And I mean, there really wasn't much to this. They go crazy. They're attacking them. Cool. It wasn't anything we haven't seen before, but they did kind of need this, though. So even though it's predictable, and even though there's really nothing that's making the group unique whatsoever, they did need this little post-match attack. So I feel like I'm going to let them have their wins wherever they can get them. And that, my friends, was really the biggest things that happened from Monday Night Raw. That was pretty much everything that went down. So there you go with this mini Monday Night Raw review. I hope you guys appreciated it. If you did, please let me know. Tweet me whether you listen on the audio version or watch on the video version for the DWO. I also want to let you guys know that two matches were announced for next week's Raw: Jey Uso versus Chad Gable and Lyra Valkyria, Katana Chance, and Kayden Carter versus Damage Control's Io Sky, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai. That will be happening next week, and of course it'll be the follow-up to Money in the Bank. So the fallout of Money in the Bank we will be seeing next week. Alrighty, everyone, that is it. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact, with semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. It's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.